Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Several studies have suggested a link between school librarians and improved reading scores, even when accounting for differences in school funding and student income. But the role of the school librarian is fading. One in five school librarian posts were eliminated between 2000 and 2016 across the country, where elementary and high school libraries are being defunded, repurposed, or just abandoned. Ohio has seen a similar decline in the profession, with more than 700 school librarian positions cut over the last decade. Liz Deskins is an adjunct professor for Kent State University and a former school librarian for 30 years, teaching at elementary, high school, and college levels. Welcome, Liz Deskins.
Thank you very much. I should also say that I'm a past president of OELMA, the state school library organization, so I'm very passionate about all of this.
And Kobe Levin is a reporter for Chalkbeat Detroit. That's a nonprofit education news outlet. He recently wrote about the decline of school libraries in Michigan and across the country. He joins us by Skype. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Just in general, Kobe Levin, what triggered this interest in you to cover this issue, and what do we know about why it's happening now?
Sure. So we've got folks in the State House who are putting a spotlight on this. Some representatives have put forward bills that would require every school in the state to have a library. And, you know, we have also a very active state librarian association who've been advocating on this. Michigan is maybe among the starkest examples of the disappearance of school librarians nationwide. And it's something that we are just coming to grips with about 20 years after that trend got started.
What do we know at the state level? So you have an active school librarian interest group there, and yet it's one of the starkest examples of the depletion of the roles.
Right.
So where's the disconnect? Well, why are lawmakers doing this?
So, I mean, this is about money, one way or another. The disappearance of librarians generally accelerated after the Great Recession in 2007, 2008. And Michigan has gone back and forth about school funding. And a lot of schools have really felt the pain over the last decade or two. I think it's just gotten to a point where administrators are making tough decisions, and librarians have gotten the cut in more cases than not.
You wrote about the steep decline in school libraries. Can you give us some numbers about how much they declined?
Sure. So in Michigan, the number declined 73% between 2000 and 2016. That's got us down to a place where only 8% of schools in Michigan have a full-time certified librarian. And you know, a lot of the existing school libraries are staffed by, say, a paraprofessional. But I think there's no one on the scene now who would say that that's a substitute for someone who's trained in managing resources and helping people access books and materials online.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the story of the disappearing librarian in our public schools, K through 12. That's Kobe Levin. He's a reporter for Chalkbeat Detroit. That's a nonprofit education news outlet. I read his article in Bridge, a nonpartisan nonprofit news source that I follow in Michigan. Also with us is Liz Deskins. She's an adjunct professor for Kent State University, where there's the only formal library science program at the graduate level in the state. She's a former school librarian for 30 years and taught at the elementary, high school, and has taught at the college level. If you have a question or comment, what do you think about your school library? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Liz Deskins, can you give us a thumbnail of what a school librarian does versus, I mean, mostly as we grew up, it was just the lady behind the desk telling us to shut up, right? But but is there something to being a certified school librarian?
Oh, so much more. Actually, I'm teaching a management class this quarter, but they really are the facilitator of this huge space in which there are books and book selection is done, book curation, collecting the right resources. And now there's the World Wide Web, which takes children out of the safety of your little space where you've handpicked the right good books for information to where they can get any kind of information all the time. And so
information's less garbage.
Yes, yeah. That was what I was going to say. When this whole thing of fake news, it's so very clear when you see students who will do their online searching. You know, Google is the first thing they go to. Studies show they only look at the top 4 or 5 hits that they get, and Google isn't amalgamated to do this is the most and this is the least. And so school librarians teach them the critical thinking and how to do the evaluation of what is a quality source, an authentic source, a current source, all the credible source, all those things. And then you have the whole technology piece of more and more schools are getting into students actually having a device. And a lot of that teaching how to use those things and maintenance of circulation of problem solving of that technology is another thing that's been thrown in.
Colby, you wrote that students in poorer districts have been the most affected. How so?
So if you look at the now very small number of school districts in the state that are fully staffed with a librarian in every school, that just reads like a list of our most affluent communities. What that means is that if you're a student in Detroit's public school district, which enrolls, that's about 50,000 kids, odds are you do not have a librarian. For those 50,000 students, there are 2 certified full-time librarians on staff.
Who are choosing books for all of those different buildings and that kind of a thing.
I don't think that they would make a claim to be doing that, actually. Most libraries in the school just don't function as sophisticated libraries in the way that librarians can make happen. We've had a couple of interesting examples here where volunteers come in and redo a library. They fix up the shelves. They might even bring in new materials. And then there's just no one to keep them organized. So they don't get used the way that they might.
Okay. All right. You also found, and I thought this was interesting, that librarians are also in extremely short supply. So why, if there's so many unemployed librarians out there now?
Well, the trend has been going down for a number of years, and I think folks have just realized that the job market is not very strong. I spoke with a school district that just decided to bring back its librarian after decades of not having one. And they found that most of their applicants were retired, people who had just left the job market entirely because there was nothing available. The programs that train librarians in our state have already seen their enrollment decline. Basically, we have responded, our sort of teacher training programs have responded to the decline of jobs by training fewer people. But now, if this legislation were to go through, for example, we'd be really hard-pressed to find enough people to fill libraries.
I read an article in The Conversation by a professor of school library programs that said that one of the main reasons school libraries are being targeted is because of their vulnerable institutions. What's vulnerable about the institution in and of itself, Colby?
So if you talk to a school librarian today, you might get a sense that they're tired of being asked like why they exist, why their job exists anymore. There's a general impression that the internet rendered libraries and librarians obsolete or unnecessary. People can just use Google after all. And I do think that factored in to decisions at the district level when folks were looking at tight budgets and deciding, okay, do we expand our physical education program or do we keep a librarian on staff? They may have been swayed by arguments that the digital world just doesn't have much to do with the space that that many of us grew up with.
And go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Liz Duskins, you were describing earlier that, in fact, that is a new resource, the World Wide Web, but the critical thinking skills still have to be taught.
Exactly. They watch students who on their own are doing their searching skills. They just throw a word or their entire question to be answered into the Google space. And then they look at the first 2 or 3 answers and feel like they're done. They're not doing the critical thinking required and all the things you need to authenticate your source. You need to check for currency. You need to find out if it's, really the information that you need, because I know from my high school experience, if a teacher said you must have 3 articles, the first three they can find there, I'm done, without even really reading to find out if anything's in it. So they really need people to teach them these skills. And these skills are started in the elementary, the very early elementary. You start reading about books with facts and what makes the difference and how do you find it. And that's all falling on the school librarian because teachers do some of that in their classes, but they don't have time for all these other things. And I'd like to say, I think part of the vulnerability of the school librarian is that in this age of high stakes testing relates to funding, it relates to everything, you know, image and everything else. We're not tested. We're not a tested mandate. And so we are not as essential. And so they don't think about us relating to and all the studies that are out there that show schools with a full-time librarian, their scores go up because while I'm not teaching the history class, I'm teaching them how to find the information and what they need to know to pass this class, with the English class, with the science class, with all the courses. So we're kind of the behind the curtains person helping with some of those things, but it doesn't come up.
It isn't on tested. The test.
No, it is not like credit to some credit goes to.
Kobe Levin, is there a hierarchy of need? So when we're looking at this dearth of librarians in our public schools, is there a sense that they say, well, we got to keep the elementary librarians because that's where they instill the early skills, the high school librarians, not so much, or vice versa? Is there any kind of hierarchy?
Within the librarian profession, not that I know of. I do think it's interesting to compare librarians to, you know, say a reading interventionist, someone who might work specifically with struggling readers when you're talking about boosting literacy. Mm-hmm. Taking a look at that comparison, but between a librarian and other ways to help students reading might get us close to the reality of the decisions that districts are making.
Kobe Levin, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Kobe Levin is a reporter for Chalkbeat Detroit. That's a nonprofit education news outlet. And I read his article entitled Amid Literacy Crisis, Michigan School Librarians Have All But Disappeared, in Bridge, another nonpartisan nonprofit news source in Michigan. We will continue our conversation with Liz Deskins, adjunct professor for Kent State University, former school librarian for 30 years and more when we return. If you have a question or comment about the school library, what's your school library like? Do you think it's important? Do you think it's not? Do you think there should be a hierarchy of need when it comes to school librarians? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Several studies have suggested a link between school librarians and improved reading scores, even when accounting for differences in school funding and student income. But the role of the school librarian is fading. 1 in 5 school librarian posts were eliminated between 2000 and 2016 across the country, where elementary and high school libraries are being defunded, repurposed, or just abandoned. According to the latest research, Ohio alone has lost more than 700 school library positions over the past decade. Still with us is adjunct professor for Kent State University and former school librarian for 30 years. She taught at the elementary, high school, and college levels, Liz Deskins. Mary Keeling is the president of the American Association of School Librarians. Welcome to the show, Mary Keeling.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So we're kind of pegging this at about a decade where there's been the very steep decline. But my sense is, from covering a lot of ancillary issues, it's been going on for a lot longer than that.
Possibly. I think we've been most aware of cuts since the recession began, uh-huh, and school districts began to seek more flexibility in how they used funding.
What are some school districts doing to make up for the loss? Anything?
I don't think they're doing much. Many school districts are investing in what they in classroom collections, so they will put a large number of grade level appropriate books in specific classrooms and expect that to fill the gap. But that doesn't really provide students with the range of choice that a school library would provide, nor does it provide instruction in how to use information or how to choose for oneself what one wants to read, which is a vital contribution that school librarians make to education.
What is the education level of a school librarian? Do they usually have a master's?
Absolutely. Most school librarians have a master's degree, and in most states of the United States, school librarians are also credentialed teachers, which is frequently a master's degree. And so then the credential to become a school librarian is an additional number of credits beyond a master's degree. So some will have a master's in library science, which is an American Library Association accredited degree that has a concentration in school librarianship, and many have a teaching degree which has a concentration in school librarianship. And it varies from state to state because, you know, states pretty much manage how the educational enterprise is conducted in their own particular states. It's all about local control.
Liz Duskins, what about Ohio? What does it require for school librarians?
We have certification, a licensure, and you'd have to pass the test. We have, at this point, because of only Kent State, it is a graduate level program. And a lot of my students are educators in other fields who want to get this degree.
But they're not going to get a job as a librarian, probably.
Oh, not under this current administration or school board, state school board. Possibly not, but I think a lot of them feel like if they're in the school, I have several who've said, my school librarian is going to retire in a few years, and we've worked so well together that I'm hoping if I get a degree, I'll be able to step in. There's no guarantee, though. A lot of times they just don't replace them at all.
Keev in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Keev.
I really appreciate being on the show today. I am a retired library media specialist of 35 years, and I retired 3 years ago from a Central Ohio Big 8 school district, and I was in this district from 1994 to 2016, beginning in 2006 at the middle school level where I was. I was in two buildings every other day for about 10 years, Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, elementaries on Wednesdays. I had a bachelor's degree from Ohio Dominican when they had their library science program, and a master's from Ohio in instructional design and technology. Funding was a huge issue beginning in 1999 when we lost all book funding except for grants. Another issue with librarians was, you know, how often we saw students as to how we were staffed. And since we only saw them on a scheduled basis, we did not see them on a regular basis like classroom teachers. But I do endorse wholeheartedly every single comment that all three of your guests this morning have voiced. And these are all issues that must be addressed nationwide in terms of staffing and funding our libraries. I had middle school students, eighth graders, who were reading level of 1.2, but I did not have money to buy books for them so that they could read.
Keith, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it. If anyone else has a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You know, Mary Keeling, we're talking about there's also a shortage out there of librarians that are certified properly, licensed properly, that kind of a thing. What does the American Association of School Librarians know about the contraction of programs out there to educate and to certify librarians?
Oh, we're absolutely well aware of that, and but we are continuing to revise our standards for accreditation of those schools that that do prepare school librarians. Just recently, the coordinating committee revised our guidelines for accreditation standards to align with our new national school library standards, and that those have been submitted to that accrediting body through American Library Association. We know that there are library schools that are applying for grants to the Institute of Museum and Library Services for to provide support for innovative programs. There are two library schools in Virginia that offer master's degrees in school librarianship, and one of them offers distance learning opportunities. We have some very remote parts of our state which are not not physically accessible to a college program or a university program, so they do almost entirely all of their coursework online. Mm-hmm. So they make that accessible.
Right, Ohio State, Kent State has that as well. The entire school library program is 100% online.
Oh, okay.
But it's a difficult problem because if there are declines in positions, then teachers are not going to go seek the additional endorsement, because if they want to become a school librarian, they want to have a guarantee that they have a job when they finish investing in a degree program. Another issue is that school librarians make the same amount of money, usually, as classroom teachers, and so there isn't a financial incentive for a teacher to go get that additional endorsement. So it's an interesting problem, and the universities that offer library programs have to stay in business, and if they are not able to maintain enrollment, then they are under pressure to cut their programs.
Hmm.
So it's a tough problem.
Librarians, right. That's
I know. Well, your caller said, said that we need to have something at the national level that requires this, and, he's right. We do need policy at the highest levels that define criteria for strong school libraries, because this advances equity for all our learners. I mean, we know that there are relationships between a child's access to reading materials and their success in life later on, and a school library makes that happen for any child regardless of their income. Libraries serve people at all stages of their lives. The reality is, for a child to be served by a public library, for example, they need to have a parent that will take them there. So children who have libraries in their schools have access to a world of resources, plus they have access to an instructional person in the librarian who is skilled at teaching critical thinking, skilled at teaching kids how to refine their learning goals and how to find information that will help them in their lives.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. That's Mary Keeling. She's president of the American Association of School Librarians. Also with me, Liz Deskins. She is an adjunct professor in library science for Kent State University. She's a former school librarian for 30 years. We're talking about the role of school librarians and how it's shrinking drastically over the last 10 years. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Chris in Reynoldsburg, you're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment from someone who's had a classroom teacher perspective. Librarians not only are amazing at supporting students and reading, but they're also an essential resource for teachers. Good librarians are just hound dogs for awesome classroom resources, and especially in the world of ed tech and the amount of technology teachers have at their disposal in some districts. Librarians have a really unique way of drilling down to those really good resources, and helping teachers integrate them into the classroom. So they have a role not only in supporting students, but also their teachers.
Give me an example, Chris, of what you mean by that. How does a school librarian help you in your role as a teacher?
For instance, when I was a special education teacher, I would have students with very specific goals or very specific needs. So reaching out to that school librarian and saying, you know, can you help me? I need a video that really explains linear equations and really gives a nice visual. Those librarians always seem to know where to go and help direct me towards a free resource, a state database, somewhere where I could get what I needed. So they were just every librarian in schools that I've ever worked with has always just been a top-notch resource for teachers.
Chris, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So a real teacher resource then, Liz Deskins.
I love that.
She loves you, Chris.
I do. It's very true. We are a resource for our faculty because they're given new curriculum all the time, or they want to re-up their curriculum, and things change. And they don't know the change. They don't have time to find all these changes because we know how busy teachers are. And that is part of our mission, is to stay current on everything that we can so that we can say, oh, all right, you need this. Well, let me first look at Khan Academy. They have lots of math things. Or let me go over here in Ohio to InfoHio, which is our statewide database. What can I find? We can go, you know, we can go and do our special searching, our little magical words that can find what they want. And we love to be a part of that. It's very exciting. It's part of our missive. The one thing else I hasn't mentioned is we're also we work with families. A lot of us have programming and things that we do that we encourage families to join in on, or we're sending home books that are supporting, you know, family issues. So we are there for the students, the faculty, and then the greater community.
Mary Keeling, how does the role of a librarian in a school change between, say, kindergarten, middle school, and high school?
Oh, it's really fascinating. it has to do with your understanding of students' learning needs based on their developmental ability. And we start teaching kids inquiry strategies at the very youngest age, even in kindergarten, with asking them to formulate questions or giving them opportunities to explore resources widely to build background knowledge in something they may not have had personal experience with. So as we move through the grades, and there's always, always, always rich literacy experiences, and we will share stories with kids and connect those stories to factual materials that can be used in conjunction with those stories. We're sort of helping little ones, the littlest ones, distinguish fact from fiction, and relating that to how information is organized in, say, for example, the nonfiction collection. Then as we move into the upper elementary grades, kids start learning how to match their questions and the keywords in their questions to search terms, and then learning how to skim for information, which, you know, as grown-ups who know how to do these things, we often have an expert blind spot, and we think we can just tell kids to go do research. But
go
that's
skim
not the
that.
Case.
Yeah, right. What does that mean?
Yeah, the kids, yeah, what does that mean? And so you have to model that for kids and show them how to do it, and then give them lots and lots of time to practice that. And so the other thing that we do in elementary libraries is we just encourage kids to read as much as they want to read and have access to lots of different kinds of things and try different kinds of things. As we move into middle school, the structures for doing research become more codified. I think it's around fourth grade where, you know, we say that in grades K to 2, kids are learning to read. Mm-hmm. And then starting in grade three, they start to make a transition where they're reading to learn. Mm-hmm. Well, by the sixth through eighth grades and higher, we're expecting kids to be able to distinguish opinion in what they read, formulate questions, formulate an original idea that they want to pursue on their own. Also, throughout all of this, we're teaching them to learn how to work together in groups. So we might be teaching them conversation structures that allow them to build on each other's ideas in a really productive way. And sometime around in the seventh, eighth grade, we start to teach them how to cite things formally. And by the time we get to the 12th grade, we want them to understand that, as our colleagues in the Association of College and Research Libraries say in their information literacy framework, scholarship is a conversation. And we want them to understand that they have a place in an ongoing conversation of scholarship. And that's the purpose of citing sources and quoting ideas and paraphrasing what others have said, that it's part of a conversation to refer back to what other people have said and give them credit for it. So it's quite a continuum. I see in the statistical reports I get that there's a lot of pleasure reading that happens in the early grades, and then that does seem to drop off in the upper grades, but there's still a very passionate and committed group of kids who are always coming in for the next thing, the next best thing. We often see high school kids who have developed their passion for a particular topic in high school, and the way that the library supports them in exploring that can be very powerful.
I know I was supposed to work on research papers in the library, but I always ended up reading fiction.
Well, that's an interesting thing. You know, all readers have different preferred modes. And when I was in college, I knew a young man who said fiction was a waste of time, and I couldn't believe it. You know, like, I'm a serial.
It's crazy.
I'm a binge fiction reader and myself. And he thought it was a waste of time, and he really only wanted to read nonfiction. And I actually observed that many of the little boys that I served as an elementary librarian had nothing to do with fiction, but they were always very interested in factual material.
That's very interesting. That's a really interesting thing. We're going to continue our conversation. We're going to get to some calls. That's Mary Keeling. She's president of the American Association of School Librarians. Also, Liz Deskins. She's an adjunct professor of library science at Kent State University, former school librarian for 30 years. I was inspired to do this show by a story about the dearth, of librarians in Michigan. The headline says, Michigan school librarians have all but disappeared. The same is happening in Ohio and across the rest of the country. If you have a question or comment, have an experience with a school librarian, if you are a school librarian, give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the importance of school libraries and why they're disappearing in some areas, actually across the country, some areas worse than others. The number of school librarians declined 20% between 2000 and 2016. Ohio alone has lost more than 700 school library positions over the past decade or so. Still with us is adjunct professor of library science at Kent State, former school librarian for 30 years, taught at the elementary, high school, and college levels, Liz Deskins. Also with us, president of the American Association of School Librarians, Mary Keeling. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mary Keeling, you mentioned earlier that you're there's been revisions to the standards, to the librarian standards. What kind of revisions? What has been changing?
So we had an editorial board that began work in 2015, I believe, 2014, 2015. And what we did, I wasn't on the editorial board, I was on another team, but what they did was they did a survey of all of the school librarians to identify what parts of the existing standards that had been published in 2007 and 2009 were still resonating with them and what needed to be changed. And so what we have done with our standards is we have arranged them according to six shared foundations, which are basically the big ideas of the work we do with children, and arranged in four learning domains. So the shared foundations are inquire, which is to inquire, is to teach children and young adults to pursue an inquiry process, understanding that the process of learning has specific stages and they need to be explicitly taught. The second one is include. Now, libraries have always stood for freedom of access to ideas of any kind. Opposing viewpoints need to be represented in every collection. Every culture of every community needs to be represented in every collection. And by include, however, we are also saying that it's not that we've not been expansive in our view to people, but we realize that with our increasingly diverse population, we need to be more strategic in the way we plan for including and representing all people in the work that we do and in the learning strategies that we use. Collaborate is another key feature of what we do. We collaborate with classroom teachers, mm-hmm. and we also, through these standards, we also teach kids to collaborate with each other. I want to point out that in one study, I think this was in Ohio, teachers were surveyed, and they were three times more likely to rate their literacy teaching as excellent when they collaborated with school librarians. Mm. So the collaboration is about increasing achievement for our learners. Curate is a new term, I guess you could say, for building our collections, but it is also about continuing to evaluate and assess the way our collections are being used and to provide access to lots of materials beyond our physical collections. So lots and lots of libraries provide links to resources well beyond their schools. Explore is the fifth shared foundation, and this speaks to lighten the fire of a kid's curiosity and getting them engaged in choosing their own learning path. And then finally, engage has to do with, again, like I said earlier about scholarship as a conversation, engaging in the scholarly community or in the learning community in ethical ways by citing your sources and using the sources appropriately. And then the domains reflect the kinds of learning. So there's think, which is cognitive. Create is psychomotor, because we are making something with what we've learned. Share is social. Our learners are increasingly social, and grow has to do with the way we reflect and incorporate new learning into our existing knowledge base. So that's in a nutshell. I mean, I think it's a brilliant set of standards because they use a lot of very current educational concepts, and so they resonate with our administrators and teachers very nicely. They see how we can add value to their work, and that the work that we do in the libraries is not like an add-on, which is always a barrier for them.
Shannon in Worthington, you're on the air. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Great. Hey, just a quick additive, not really a question, but the value the librarians offered to me in my life, I can honestly say the librarians helped raise me. My mom was a single mother of three kids, teacher. So I grew up knowing my librarians, but I can't tell you how many days when mom was busy that she dropped me at the library, and the librarians would open my world up and just added so much value to my life. And I do think on a federal level, they need to be respected and renewed, and they really need to put some public funds towards that. Lastly, every place I've ever moved in my life, and I've lived quite a few places. I've always sought out a library wherever I've landed. Mm-hmm. I just took a job at Otterbein University and just, again, assimilated with another group of librarians. So you ladies are all wonderful and undervalued, in my opinion. Thank you.
Shannon, thanks a lot for that call. Anybody else, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Angie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Angie.
Hi, it's not often that we get a chance to brag on the librarians publicly, and so I want to make sure that I do that. My daughter attends Columbus Gifted Academy, which is Columbus Public's school for gifted students in grades 3 through 8. Mm-hmm. Her name is Megan McGonagall. We lovingly call her Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter. And I think for us with 500 gifted students who blow through books, right, they read books voraciously.
Right.
She is such a resource to be able to go and say, for example, my daughter, when she was in third grade, was reading like a 10th grade level. What do I do with that as a parent? You know, like what books do I suggest to a third grader who's reading at a 10th grade level but still needs something age appropriate? Mm-hmm. She's a huge resource for our students in that way. And even beyond that, and I know this isn't specific to her, she's a source for funding for our libraries. She's one of the people on our staff who seeks out funding sources to buy all of these books that our students are going through so quickly. And I think without her, we wouldn't have nearly the resource that we do for our students.
That's an interesting, Angie, thank you so much for that call. That's an interesting point, Liz Duskins, this fundraising piece.
It is. And librarians are great grant writers, for one thing. And we're not afraid to ask for things. Like you go to someplace local and you say, a local, usually a chain bookstore, because they have a little better discounts, and say, you know, I need to get 10 copies of this book. Is there any kind of discount we can do? Or we're very good at finagling to get monies together for what we want. Book fairs.
And you see that in the book fairs, of course, raise money.
Oh, yes.
And it's seen as part of the role of the librarian.
It really is now. It is since they changed the whole requirement of how many money per dollar. I'd like to ask this last caller, though, how many days a week that librarian is at their school? Because I don't think Columbus has anyone that's, unless maybe it's a high school, that's there every day.
Well, that caller's gone, but let's turn to Grace in Columbus. Hi, Grace. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to sing the praises of librarians. So I'll tell you, I went to school in a small, well, actually it was a small town then, it's large now, but we had a librarian at our school who was a saint, really. She taught us how to read books and what to read a long time ago. And I was a child that wanted to read, and I'd read so fast I'd finish the books. And so she started me, she said, listen, I want you to take this dictionary and just go through it every day and learn all these words. And I did that. I just would just read words all the time. And so when I got ready to graduate from high school, I took the ACT and the SAT. And they called me one day to the principal's office, and there was several teachers and the principal in there. They wanted me to know that I had the highest score on the ACT that had ever been made in that school. And they wondered what I had been doing. And I said, I don't know what you mean. And then they said, well, what do you do? What do you read? And I said, oh, yes, I read all the time. I read the dictionary. And they all started to laugh. So that very librarian I owe everything to in my education, because I got scholarships to college. I was a merit scholar when they first started them out. And so every child, all my children, I taught to read books so that they could get understanding about the world. I'd go everywhere, all over the world, and I was still in Tennessee, but that was through books.
Grace, what a great story. Thank you so much for calling in.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So that must be making you smile, Mary Keeling.
I am smiling. Except
for the
big
problem is that there aren't librarians in most schools anymore.
Well, so I think that what your caller just said, Grace just said, proves the point that we make all the time, that school libraries change lives. And American Association of School Librarians has as a goal that there will be a school library in every school with a full-time certified school librarian in that school, where the librarian will not be going from middle school to elementary school, as your first caller described, but mm-hmm. will be dedicated to serving those children every day.
And they're also... Mary. This is Liz.
We're working toward that. So.
Yeah, we are. But I know Kent State and Michigan has Wayne State that have an accelerated program for teachers who are already licensed, and then they can... go through an online program and get their certification in 2 years. They can add on. I know that's happening in other places.
To encourage people.
Yes, to encourage that. And that they're online programs so that you have the accessibility and the time. Because if you're a teacher, maybe you're doing a lot of your work on the weekend. But I think it's a way to get librarians in buildings more quickly.
I want to grab this caller real quick because I'm curious about her idea. Anne in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Anne.
Hi, my question was, even though I know school librarians are very understaffed and they do have collaborations with teachers and families, and are there areas where they collaborate with other community agencies or even city librarians or on their own offer workshops once in a while for the community, open to the public, on how to determine what's a reliable source, what's a vetted news station or vetted, people even understand the word vetted anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, let's hear. I am curious to see if there is a role, Mary Keeling, for community libraries with schools.
So for school librarians to provide instruction to members of the community or to collaborate with public libraries?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we do, many of our librarians in my district will do some sort of information literacy night or awareness night with parents with the PTA meeting, when the PTA meeting happens. So frequently the PTA meeting depends on school staff to provide programming that will bring parents out to the school. So many of our librarians do that kind of programming. We also have collaborations with the public library. But I have to say, I don't know of anything specific like that. Mm-hmm. There is, however, a document that was created by the three youth services divisions of American Library Association. That would be AASL, the Association for Services to Children and Libraries. I can't remember what the acronym means, but it's ALSC and Young Adult Library Services. That is a sort of a compendium of some ways that school libraries and public libraries can and have collaborated, and has some very powerful examples of that work.
Liz Duskins?
I was looking that up for an article I did recently, and it has happened historically in many places. Indianapolis, for over 100 years before school libraries, the public libraries, there was a decision made and they ran libraries for their schools. They and even now they have an agreement where they make arrangements that every student has a library card for the public library. They can check books out at their school library or public library. And now they, in many cases, they are setting the collection so that when students are researching and getting information, they can get a book from the public library, because some of these topics we just don't have a book on it in your little school library. So they're providing all those coordinated resources. They realized when school libraries came, they would continue, and librarians to support them. And it was amazing to read about.
Liz Duskins, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Liz Duskins is an adjunct professor of library science for Kent State University, former school librarian for 30 years. And Mary Keeling, president of the American Association of School Librarians, thanks to you as well. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to everybody else for listening. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Mary Lee Williams, assistant producer Kyle McKinnon, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Alan DeCenzo is a composer of our theme music. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.